Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, I'm Brandon Peoples, talking with 51st District Representative Ron Hyland of Wamego, who joins us here for a legislative preview. In fact, a legislative session not that far away, January 11th, so about 2 weeks away from that. One big topic here that will no likely be coming up, and whether or not it will get passed here, is Medicaid expansion. And this is something that's I know a lot of folks are in favor for. There's Republicans and Democrats who favor expanding Medicaid, but I know the legislature's also gotten a little more conservative here after the election, and so the likelihood of that getting passed is probably not good.
I think you're right about that assessment. The big thing for most of us, not all of us, but most of us, is how much money is involved. And nobody has really been able to answer that question for us. And then, as we discussed in the first session, the uncertainty of the revenue stream that will be coming in next year. And do we really want to put another amount of money taken away into that system at this time? And I don't think there is the mood to do that right now. Maybe in the future, when things are brighter and we can afford these things, then maybe that's something that will be looked at, but not right now. The leadership has made it fairly clear that that will not be coming up.
Okay. Well, and as far as other items of legislation, do you have some priority bills of your own that you're looking at?
Yes, I put in some bills that have been written and actually pre-filed, and some of them are repeats that died. Every 2 years, the bills go away, so at that point, you have to redo them if you want them to appear on the calendar again. So I've done that, and three of them involve capers, and with these, I have made fewer friends. But it's something I felt important. After you've been around there a while, you see some things that just don't look right. The first one is, as far as CAPERS goes, that portion of CAPERS that is the least funded is the teacher's portion. And so this bill increases their salary by the exact same amount of money that they will increase their input into the CAPERS system to try to catch them up. They're in the 60% range of funding, and that makes it very difficult for the other four parts of CAPERS. You hear about the CAPERS total, but there's actually five different parts in it. I'm also introducing a thrift plan that would mimic 401ks. And the big difference there is the individual then directs how their money is invested. And the other huge thing about this is it's portable. So if you would leave the teaching profession, that would go with you. Whereas with the current system, it does not. And then the last one, which I've made a lot of friends, but many hate it, is I'm trying to remove all legislators from the CAPERS system. For me, it makes me feel uncomfortable when I have to vote on any CAPERS bill, because we are part of that system, and I don't feel we should be. We are a citizen legislature, and we should be outside the system entirely. That would be replaced with a straight salary, and then you would be responsible for your own insurance and everything. You invest it, you do whatever you want with it, but the salary would be about that for a beginning teacher, and that's how a system would work. And then I have most bills I introduce are due to some constituent asking, having a problem with some state agency or a law that needs to be tweaked. I have a hot water bill that came to me from motels, hotels. The fire marshal's inspectors are claiming their water heaters are boilers. And when you get designated a boiler, that means you have thousands of dollars of upgrade to all your electrical and water systems in your hotel, motel. It's a simple fix. I have a Charlie's Law, it's called. Individuals, elderly, that are in rest homes, they are taken to a doctor's appointment, whatever, and they come back and they've been evicted. without any recourse or any explanation, and that is unfair in our system, and we're trying to correct that. And then we have land net income, changing the system for determining how much that is currently. The landowner net income is determined by a 8-year rolling average, which in essence is a 16-year rolling average. And it creates huge peaks and huge lows, which affects county revenues. So I'm changing that. I'm tempted to change that to an 8-year straight average. That smooths that out. Both the counties and the landowners are in favor of it. And then the last one is just a rules and regs bill, which is technical in nature. So I'll be busy testifying and trying to convince others that these are good things to do.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out here. I know it's not easy getting 140, whatever House members there are, on board with one.
125 and then 40 senators. Okay. So you got to convince them all eventually.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your district in particular. For those who don't know, kind of the shape of your district, and then we'll also kind of get into redistricting, because that's going to be something that comes up here in the session.
Great. After last redistricting, the shape of my district is one of the oddest in the state. I actually have part of it is north of the dam, Kettle Creek Dam, and goes all the way down to just north of Emporia. So end up with 5 counties: Pott County, Riley County, Shawnee County, all of Wabunsee, and the northern third of Lyon County. And the Riley County portion is, you cross the bridge on 177 going south, that's my part of Riley County. So that's the rural area primarily. And most representatives will end up, there'll be like 2 or 3, maybe 4 in a Senate district. Well, mine's just totally the opposite. I'm the only representative, but I have 4 senators in my district that I have to work with. And it makes it a little difficult at times. I'm very busy, a lot of miles involved, 3 major universities in my district and 7 school districts, you name it. And cities, you've got county governments, city governments. I'm very busy, to say the least. But it's been an interesting trip. But that'll all change. As you stated, redistricting happens. They will work on that starting this year. That committee has been assigned. I asked to be on it, but was not placed on it. But we all will be involved eventually at some point. It's a, luckily, I don't think our state will lose a federal representative this time around, but in the next cycle, I think we will. Because our population is not increasing as rapidly as the rest of the country. And that'll be unfortunate, but it'll be a hard, those are always hard fought. And the reason my district is shaped the way it is because the last time around, the Senate and the House could not agree. It's like any other bill, it has to be passed by both chambers and gone to the governor for signature. It didn't make it. So it was turned over to the courts. They hired a computer guy, and he drew the lines based on population.
Any idea of, where you think that line gets redrawn here?
Well, it'll be interesting because of the population increase between Wamego and the Blue River in Manhattan. That is increasing rapidly in that area. It won't happen this time, but maybe within the next 10 years, that will be a representative slot all of its own. Hmm. And that, in turn, will change the lines for the senators and everybody else. I won't make any predictions this time because I just don't know how they're going to approach this. I will make my suggestions, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, we all will. We'll see how it goes.
Very good. Well, and you're right. That whole area is just going to, I think, blow up here in the next 10 years. Going to be a lot of growth happening in that corridor.
Yes.
Well, we're out of time here, Mr. Hyland, but appreciate it. And we'll look forward to speaking with you here in the legislative session. It should be an interesting one, probably more so than recent years with everything going on with the pandemic.
Yes, it will. Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it as well. Ron Hyland again. If you missed any of this interview, it'll be up shortly at newsradiokman.com. Tomorrow, we've got Ben Jedlicka from the Parks. He's game warden with the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism. We also have Todd Lovin going to join us. And then, Dave, I think we're going to have a special interview that you did with our Jeopardy contestant.
Ah, with Fred. Good. Had a chance to talk to him, a week or two ago? Delightful conversation. Well, we have the Clark Howard Show coming up after CBS News, followed by the Rush Limbaugh Show, Dan Patrick, and The Game. I got a best of stuff that's happening here for the next few days. Have a great day. It's 10 a.m. at News Radio KMAN.